Blessings, friends. This is Pastor Nick here, and I just want to share something with you. I want to be as clear as possible. I want to be as straightforward as I can possibly be. I want to share with you a revelation that we find that God has placed all that He is, all that He is doing, all that He will do. He is, if we want to use a modern thought or terms, He's placed all His eggs in one basket. He has placed all His marbles on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't be any more straightforward and clear of how important that is and how important it is for us to know that. It's simply saying that God has placed everything in His kingdom, in this life and the life to come, upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gives us a revelation on three different accounts in the Scriptures of this same thought process that He repeats to us three different times. Three different times He says this. We find it in the Older Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 18. We also see it in the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ continuing to do and to teach through the Holy Spirit, through His people, in the book of Acts. And in chapter number 3, in verse number 22, Peter, when he preaches, says, "For Moses," referring back to that Deuteronomy 18 passage, "truly said to our fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet." Now, we know who that prophet is. He is telling us that prophet that he's speaking of was prophetic toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And he describes him as being a prophet like me, meaning he will come from your brethren. That would be that revelation that Jesus had taken upon flesh, that he was no doubt God and no doubt man. He would come from the brethren. He would be a Hebrew. He would be of the seed of Abraham. He would be a Jew. He would come to his brethren, and you shall hear, this is what he says, that you shall hear this prophet in all things, whatever he says to you. Now keep that in mind. This is what we can't miss. This is what we want to be clear. This is what I want to be clear and straightforward about. God, if he has placed everything upon his Son, then he is everything to him, and he will be everything to them that believe him. He says, "You shall hear him in all things," in all things, in all things about life, all things about death, all things about joy, all things about marriage, all things about child rearing, all things about salvation, all things about heaven eternally, about the Father, about the Son, about the Spirit, about the life of kingdom work. Simply everything. If you're to hear him in anything, you're to hear him in everything. And the warning to not hearing him in whatever he says, that means you put yourself in position to take his word on the matter. And that can't be any clearer for us. Stephen brings it out in Acts chapter 7. He also says God is going to raise up a prophet like Moses from among the brethren. And that prophet is Jesus. He is God's mouthpiece. He is the Word of God made flesh before us. And if we don't hear him, if we don't put ourselves in position to hear what he has to say about myself, what he has to say about himself, what he has to say about my neighbor, what he has to say about living life, what he says about the government, what he says about being governed by the truth, what he says about everything, if I'm not seeking him to find what he has said on a thing, Verse 23 of Acts 3 says this, "And it shall be that every soul, every person, every individual who will not hear, who will not listen, who will not find out, who will not hear what this prophet has to say, will be utterly or ultimately destroyed from among the people, if they will perish without Christ Jesus." Not claiming him, not simply confessing him, but our heart and life that submits to him, that seeks him, that our life, our conduct is a reflection of what he says. Of course, that won't be perfect. That is not going to be manifested in a way that it's flawless, but it will be clear that those that honestly, genuinely believe that Jesus is God's everything, he's placed everything upon him, their life will be a reflection of a life that seeks him in everything. He will be everything to that person, and what he says will be everything to them. That what he says about a thing will be more important than whatever that thing is, whether it be their life, whether it be their family, whether it be their marriage, whether it be church and kingdom life. What Jesus has to say will be of more value and of greater importance and more significant and something that will be more trustworthy than the thing that he's talking about. My life is not near as important as what Jesus says about my life. I must hear him. I want to hear from him. I will therefore seek him to find out everything he has said about himself, because I want to know him. Everything he says about me, because I want to know what he knows about me and what he's doing with me and what he wants to do with me in this life. And what he says about the world I live in, what he says about the people that I live among, what he says about judging and mercy and love and kindness and wrath and eternal judgment and everlasting life. I must know. I want to know. I have to know. I cannot live for him not knowing what he has said in regards to everything. And those that do not find themselves in that place, we have to be straightforward and honest. They're just simply are living still in death, deception, and darkness, because they have not the light, nor the life, nor the love of what this man, this prophet, has come to give them. Speak into them, guide them, and shepherding them through this life. And this does not simply apply to one people group. This is everybody. This applies to everyone. Verse 26 says, "You," that would be the Jew, "are sons of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed," singular, that means Jesus, 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 "all the families of the earth," that would include the Gentiles, that would include people like you and me, that would include people other than the Hebrews, that would include them and us, "that in your seed, Abraham," Jesus, "all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And in verse 26 of Acts 3, that's why Peter says, "to you, brethren, first, that means there's going to be a second. There's going to be something else to come. "To you first, you Jews, God, having raised up his servant, Jesus, he sent him to you first." For what reason? "To bless you, and that blessing will be found in turning you away from whatever else you was hearing, to turn you to him," which would be turning you from the lies and the deceptions and the iniquities and every other thing that opposed him, that went against him, to turn you from that to turn you to Jesus. Can't be any clearer. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you, Jew and Gentile, every person from your iniquities. Now the law and our conscience has already condemned. It condemns us. The law is constantly condemning us. The conscience will condemn us. We have knowledge that we have transgressed. That means our actions were against the revealed will of God. It was a result of that wickedness within us. Our hearts were bent on corruption, bent on self-centeredness. That's that wickedness or the iniquity within. We have missed that mark of glorifying God. And most of the time we've done it to cover it up with a sense of guile, deception. But I want to tell you, God gave us Jesus. He gave us everything when he gave us Jesus. And he gave us everything in him that he would become everything to us in every aspect. And we have to hear him in all things, whatever he says. And what a sweet revelation of knowing that God has done a work within our hearts to change how we see him as everything and want to hear from him in all things and walk in everything that he reveals to us. So as the brethren in chapter 11 of the book of Acts, when Cornelius was rescued himself and they got word about him and his family, the brethren said in verse number 18, when they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life, a turning, a change of mindset toward who life is, where life is found, and where life will be lived. And that is hearing and honoring and heeding the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet for whom God raised to bless us in turning us from our iniquities of unbelief. That's part of the work of the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. He will convince the world of sin, of missing the mark with God. What is that sin that he convinces the world of? That they do not or have not believed the Lord Jesus Christ. Their unbelief. It's not a matter of what we've done, what we're doing, or what we will do. It's a matter of who we are listening to, who we are hearing, who are we hearing from. And if we are not hearing from Jesus in everything, it's because we are still operating in unbelief. That is, we don't believe he is God's everything and that we don't have to hear him in all things. And that is the purpose, one of the purposes of the convincing work of the Holy Spirit is to convince the world that they do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ and still operating in unbelief, and that righteousness will be found in him, which is proven by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that you can take him at his word, that he was without sin, that he was without blemish, that he had not missed the mark with his Father, but was in total obedience and is trustworthy. And you can cast all your treasures and all that you are, your trust, upon him and hear what he has to say. And the resurrection validates, justifies his life lived, his death, the shedding of his blood, and every single word that he spoke and still speaks into the life of his people. And that everything opposed, everything that is contrary, everything that stands against, everything that is a lie, everything that is against who he is, what he done, what was accomplished in him, will be judged. Will be judged. See, the ruler of this world who governs the affairs of this world and those that operate within it that do not hear from Jesus has already been judged. It's been condemned. It will be judged. And that then brings us back to this, that my life stands either in condemnation and contempt, or my life is a reflection and confession of the glory of God placing all and everything upon his Son, and that he is everything to me. So I want to personally plead with you to examine where you are in life, and that you recognize this today, that there's not anything you have done, anything you're doing, anything that you will ever do that bears one non-redeemable thing other than simply not believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for you in your lostness. He sees you as lost. He sees you as perishing without him. You are lost because you don't have him. You are wandering through a world without him, and he sees that as being lost. And he came for those that were lost. He came to rescue the lost and perishing. He will rescue you today. You simply place your confidence, your trust, turn to him. He's God's placed everything on him. He is where he's put all that he has. He's put it on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's put it on himself. And then the reason I say that is because Jesus is God. He's trustworthy. You can treasure him. You can walk with him. You can talk with him. You can share him. You can know him. He's made it possible for you to know him. But he must be trusted. He will be treasured. And he will be the one that you go to hear all that there is about life. When you know him, you know he has the answer. And you know where to go. And you know where to bring other people for that answer as well. So, as a friend to a friend, I just wanted to be clear with you today that you can trust him, but if you don't, I hear what he says. And what does he say? He says you will perish without him. And I believe that. I believe that. I believe it. Run to Jesus. Give him your life. And trust yourself to him. Turn to him today. And I pray that the work of God is speaking to you right now, and that you hear that revelation from him. God bless you. May you have a wonderful day. Keep your eyes on Jesus.